Warning, the podcast you are about to listen to may have adult language and discuss adult themes not suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.
Easily the greatest opening that this show has ever had, and that's sad to say after 3.5 years of trying to come up with the greatest intro. Welcome into another bonus late night playoff reaction edition of the Far End of the Bench podcast. And as you can tell, things are going well here in the Mile High City. Yeah, that's right. This is what Nico was referring to. 112-105. The Lakers again had a double-digit lead that they...
Jimmy, those conversations worked for the first half. Those conversations they had last year worked. They were working, and then what happened? Oh, no. What happened? Oh, no. Oh, no.
I forgot there were four quarters.
Oh, no.
What other excuse can I throw out there? I was really tired. I've been playing a lot.
Jimmy, 11 games in a row now. I think the Lakers have finally figured us out. I feel it. You know, they really had something in that first half. I feel it. I really do think, you know, the first half, they really had us in a stranglehold, and we should have just forfeited the game because at that point it was over, right? There was no chance we were ever going to win this series. And in reality, you know, like the Nuggets, are they really a good 2 seed? Are they really good NBA champions? I have no idea, man, because I feel like, you know, they're very underrated. They're no LeBron James, Anthony Davis. You know, that team is just overrated. They have one fat slob that obviously kicks everybody's ass, but he's really not that good, I guess. He's not the MVP. You know, he's not the MVP. Jamal Murray's not an all-star. Michael Porter Jr. is not a comeback player of the year. Aaron Gordon's not a defense player of the year. That team's nothing, right? That team's nothing.
This is Nico's dream. This is when we decided that we were going to do this show when we were young kids. This is all we ever dreamed of. Well, you ever dreamed of. I'm not going to throw myself on.
Oh, yeah.
I was. When Terrell was on the draft show earlier and he started to talk his smack and
what smack? Always, seriously, what smack? All he has on me is that they won 17 championships before I was born and long before that they haven't done anything in 10, 15 years outside of winning a championship on a parade. And we've already surpassed him 11 straight times. What do you want to say to that?
That's just always what he brings everything back to. So he backs up his Lakers because he's a Kobe fanatic, and that's who he followed. He backs them up, but then he also ends it by saying, well, if LeBron's on the team, I really don't care. I really don't care. It's like, okay, well, if you don't care, then why are you the one? I had a Bengals hat on. I was enjoying life. I was watching the draft. Wasn't even thinking about basketball. He got under my skin to the point where I had to stand up.
The draft that's still probably going on, right? Still in the first round. That's 4 or 5 hours long.
It is all over. Probably about 10 seconds ago, but it is all done. If you want to go back and check that out, it's on our page and also on the Variety Sports Network page. It was a good time. Darren and I, that Talk of the Gridiron show has come a long way since we first started it. And it's what, you know, we used to have an NFL show on our old network. This show is what that NFL show wishes it could be. On the best day. So appreciate everybody who tuned in for that. We already have plenty of people tuning in for the Nuggets post game. You jumped from the draft show to start watching the Nuggets game because you stayed long enough. You were able to stay through the Broncos pick. We'll talk about that more on our regular episode. I don't feel like we need to mention that. As I mentioned, I'm tired. I have an in-service day tomorrow. I almost have zero words left in my language. There's zero words left that I can speak. So you're going to have to carry this one, but at the beginning of the game, did they do what I told you? So we had a little miscommunication earlier. I was listening to Kirk Goldsberry, and we happen to have a Goldsberry that's mutual through us in our past through in schooling. You thought I was talking about that person. I was talking about the analytics guy who now teaches a business class at Texas. He was giving me the breakdown. How do you beat Nikola Jokic and this Denver Nuggets team? Nico, what you do is you send your most athletic player, and you know that he's going to cook Jokic because Jokic is a fat, sloppy, slow white guy. And that's going to be that.
that T-shirt from his first MVP, fat, sloppy, slow, unathletic. It's perfect. It's so perfect. If it was that easy, why has no one figured that out? And now
everybody's just saving it for the Celtics are saving it for the finals.
I mean, it's very, very funny. It's very, very funny because, look, we are putting Aaron Gordon, which, like I said, Aaron Gordon tonight, I will talk about each individual performer because he was outstanding tonight. Him and KCP are two of the best defenders in the league, and they do not get the respect they deserve because of who else is on this team. And Aaron Gordon was able to shut down Anthony Davis in the fourth quarter again. KCP forced LeBron to have three turnovers in the fourth quarter. This defense is top notch. This defense can guard anybody very easily because there's a switch that flips very, very quickly. And if you just think it's so easy that the Nuggets are just going to switch Jokic onto your most athletic player every possession, be my guest.
They'll do it for the first three quarters, knowing that they can keep themselves close enough. I mean, that's another thing that Goldsberry said is that Michael Malone is playing chess. You kind of said the same thing earlier when we were texting today. Like, this is the easiest coaching job Michael Malone has ever had, yet he's already coached thousands of circles around the Lakers head coach where, okay, I'm going to let you think I'm letting Jokic defend AD for the whole game. I'm leaving him on him for three quarters. I'm going to let Jokic get absolutely cooked. I mean, he'll make a few plays. He's definitely a better defender than he used to be early in his career. I'm going to let you think that's my strategy. Fourth quarter comes. Oh, yeah, I have this guy, Aaron Gordon. He's pretty good at defending. I'm going to make sure that he switches to AD, and I have this other guy, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and he's going to shut down LeBron. And LeBron's going to have less than 20 points midway through the fourth quarter because we just are just – all I have to do is make two moves. I make two moves, and you're in checkmate. What are you going to do now? What are you writing down on your whiteboard? Are you writing down the places that you want to go in the offseason?
The scribbles.
Did you see D'Lo? D'Lo was on his phone on the bench. Just retweeted that on our account. He's already booked his ticket to Cancun. He's like, oh, shit, I might be able to get out there a couple days early.
It's funny because you say, oh, well, how are the Nuggets not exploiting the weak defenders of this team? Well, when you have a team that is as little talented, because they're not talented. They have two guys, and that's literally it. And I will stand on that. Us Reeves had a good night tonight, but they're not talented. When you have a team that's as little talented as Los Angeles Lakers, outside LeBron and AD, you force everybody else to beat you. Plain and simple. D'Angelo Russell, over 14 tonight. He shot six threes. Six threes. I remember when game two, when he hit his first seven threes, and everyone went crazy, and like D'Lo's back, and he started doing the bolero and taunting the crowd. And now over six. Oh, but all he had to do was whine and cry about a referee foul call in the third quarter of a 20-point lead. It's crazy. And then look, Torian Prince was probably the second, third best player on this Lakers team tonight. He was hitting threes. He was playing very, very well. And he was actually showing some effort. Austin Reeves was getting buckets, but he got buckets that were in garbage time very, very late in the game. This Lakers team is not talented. Plain and simple. This is what a 2-7 series looks like, ladies and gentlemen. Not to what your mainstream media tried to depict it as the upset waiting to happen, and this series is not going to go more than five games and all that kind of shit. This series is a 2-7 series. The Lakers are not talented. Plain and simple. They are not a good coach team, and they are not a talented team. You want to see a good coach team, a well-coached team. You want to see a talented team with, you know, bench players that are not playing very well, but they still know their role, and they're still playing hustle plays and outplaying the other bench. That's the Denver fucking Nuggets. The Denver fucking Nuggets, okay? It is crazy to me, consistently, the amount of shit we get for being an NBA champion, being the best team in the world. It really is. The little respect. And like I said, it takes whooping your king's ass 11 times in a row, possibly now 12 on Saturday, to get a little bit of respect. Because I'm sorry, Stephen A. Smith, you're going to have to fly to fucking snowy-ass Denver, Colorado, and you're going to fucking like it. You're not going to get to go to L.A. You're not going to get to go to Miami. You're going to have to go to fucking Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Boston, Massachusetts, or Denver fucking Colorado. You're going to fucking like it. Plain and simple.
This is going to be how I get through my in-service day, Nico. I searched Lakers on Twitter. And
oh, it's beautiful. It's so funny.
Here's one that stands out. Let's see. It's the Joker laughing meme. So it's a Joaquin Phoenix Joker laughing meme.
Lakers lost, but we woke up with a roof over our head. We have access to clean water every day. We don't have to struggle to get food on the table. We have a whole life ahead of ourselves. Life ain't too bad. You might as well throw it on there, and I get to go to the beach within 45 minutes. Because, oh, you're talking about all the things that don't matter right now. It's playoff time, baby. If you're worried about all that, book your ticket to Cancun.
Book it. They already have, Jimmy. They already have. Those conversations, those conversations, the offseason, it's no longer how do we beat the Nuggets. It's, all right, how do we get to the Eastern Conference? How do we avoid these fuckers? Because AD and LeBron may demand a trade to fucking Milwaukee or something so that they can avoid this motherfucker.
The Lakers fans left early.
Oh, they always do, Jimmy. When they get, you know, with that ass whooping comes in, they never stay around for seconds. They never stay around for seconds. They like to get out of there very quickly and have a safe drive home and miss traffic.
Shout out at Complex Sports. I'm just seeing there's the video of a golden retriever pissing all over the floor, and the caption is the Lakers every time they play the Nuggets. I'm so glad that I did that. And if you have a bad day or if you have to work tomorrow, please make sure that you look up Lakers on Twitter and just see.
If you're trying to fall asleep tonight and hey, honey, you want to watch a comedy tonight? Let me put my phone on our Apple TV. Let's scroll through Lakers Twitter tonight. Let's have some fun.
That Golden Retriever video, it's the best. It's perfect. I love it so much. Okay, there we go. Somebody's still awake.
That's okay. That's Jeremy is gonna find new ways to hate on us, and that's all he has, right? Because he knows he got his ass whooped in five games, and that the Heat. How long has it been, Jeremy, since the Heat beat the Denver Nuggets in regular season? 2019, before COVID. That's right. Oh, that's right. And then you beat us one game in the finals because we wanted to win the championship at home. It's okay, Jared. It's okay. Jump on that Minnesota bandwagon. Jump on that Dallas Mavericks / Oklahoma City bandwagon in the West Coast Finals. Jump on that Boston bandwagon because I know you love those Celtics, don't you, Jared? And you'll enjoy it very, very much in the finals watching the Nuggets go back to back.
No clinching, no hitting below the belt. Let's go. Yeah, the gloves are off. Jeremy, I'm not going to back you up on this one.
I love you, Jer. I love you.
Yeah, no, you're a great guy.
Jer is the fucking man, but Jeremy hates awesome. The Nuggets as much as I hate the Lakers.
I can't stand Minnesota right now. Personal issues. If you've been paying attention to the show, you know why. Personal issues. Can't stand Minnesota. But they do look scary. We already mentioned that last night. We don't need to go back into that. Let's shout out some of these individual players that you want to. I'm going to go through the box score. I'm going to go in the order that I think you would go in. Aaron Gordon, 29 points, 15 rebounds, 10 assists. Easy triple dub.
Aaron Gordon is the most underrated player in basketball. I've said it. I remember last year people were questioning Aaron Gordon's playoff resume and his ability to guard people. I remember Michael Porter would talk about here in a minute about his capabilities. These are the most unselfish motherfuckers because they know. But look, beginning of that fourth quarter when the Nuggets, I believe, had a 6 or maybe 8 point lead going into the fourth. LeBron AD started the fourth. They started the fourth quarter. For those that don't know, Jokic's minutes time off is the beginning of the second quarter and the very, very beginning of the fourth quarter. Those 4 minutes that AD and LeBron were on the floor only against Reggie Jackson, Aaron Gordon, and Michael Porter Jr., they're a -3. The Nuggets won that battle. The Nuggets won the battle without Jokic on the floor with your two best players on the floor. And that is a kudos to how much confidence Michael Porter Jr. has, the resiliency he has, and how much Aaron Gordon knows what his role is and look, like I said, he may get 2 points tonight. He may score 30 points. He doesn't care. He shows up, be like, you know what?
He's looking for that shirtless run home from Ball Arena again.
That's all he's looking for. He's the most unselfish player in the league, and like I said, he is told to guard the other team's best player every night. Every night. It's last year's playoffs. He guarded Anthony Edwards, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, and Jimmy Butler in 4 straight series. Those are 4 all NBA players.
And played pretty damn good. And like proved.
Yeah.
Talk about everybody else you want to for defensive player of the year. When it comes down to it, in these games, in games that are as important, like it wasn't a must win. The Nuggets defended home court. That's all we asked them to do. Even if the unthinkable happens and they lose 2 games in Los Angeles, I still have faith in this team in a 3-game series. So not really worried about anything. But it was a big game.
this was what you expect to be the Lakers' best shot. Maybe in game four, like they just don't really want to get embarrassed. Like that 12th loss in a row. How does LeBron fake read his books at night knowing that he loses 12 games in a row to the Denver Nuggets? Like, how does he do that? He goes, he just has to think like, I know that Michael Jordan had the Pistons, but that was at the beginning of his career.
And Aaron Gordon is just living rent free in those, and Anthony Davis is in LeBron's mind, because in reality, like, oh, this guy that had the greatest dunk in dunk contest history, that guy, he doesn't do much but dunk the ball. Yeah, you're right. He doesn't really shoot the ball that well. I do not trust him for the 3-point line. But all he does is dunk on your heads and make close layups to get to 30 points and be an absolute defensive force. He is the perfect model of what we thought Jeremy Grant was going to be after the bubble, right? I was like, oh, Jeremy Grant's the must. He's the perfect mold for this team. He's a defender, offensive guy. Aaron Gordon is what I wish that Jeremy Grant would have been. But Aaron Gordon is so far an upgrade and such a better player and such a better character for this team that it is the perfect match. And like I said, 29, a triple-double tonight for AG. He deserves all the love and so much more.
All right, let's move down the box score. I'm going to go instead of the next highest point total, I'm going to go to a guy that needed to step up, and he did. Him and Aaron Gordon outscored the Lakers bench by themselves, but that's Jamal Murray, the Blue Arrow, coming out. 41 minutes tonight, 22 points. He had 9 assists and going quickly, 5 rebounds. But just that was what I heard. So I listened to, pardon my take, I listened to Barstool. That was everything that they said. A, Jokic, like, how do you defend Jokic? And B, Jamal Murray has looked like shit, and he's had the worst scoring streak of anybody, second worst scoring streak out of anybody in the playoffs. Well, he may have broken that tonight, and that's just scary news for the rest of the league. Plus, the Lakers are looking at him now like, okay, I can't defend Jokic, Aaron Gordon, and Jamal Murray every
and
single
Michael
defensive
Porter, and Michael Porter.
And, oh, yeah, and throw in there Michael Porter Jr., dude, who should have been a number one overall pick, but everybody was nervous about his back surgery. And you're like, oh, well, I'm fucked. That's like all that goes through your head.
It is crazy that we're up 3-0 and Jamal has not been as Jamal-esque as he's been. Very simple. We expect Jamal 30 points a fucking night in the playoffs because that's how good he is. What I saw from these first three games was a methodical Jamal. Jamal, look, there's very, very few star players in the NBA that can take on different roles when the shots aren't falling. And that is what Jamal did the first two games. And in this third game, the shots are falling, and he showed why he's still the fucking man. He's found new ways to get other guys in the open, get MPJ going, get AG going. That is what a quarterback does. That is what and to be honest with you, he's the second quarterback on this team because we know who the quarterback is and how who everything runs through. He fits, like I said, he's the perfect mold. And like I said, he is one of the greatest shots in Nuggets history on his fucking plaque, along with another NBA championship. He is unselfish. He knows he doesn't have to score 40 points tonight. He knows if we win, I can go on another parade. I can get crazy. I have my home fans chanting my name in my home stadium after going through one of the most gruesome injuries we've ever seen. Like, that's what Jamal drives Jamal, is being a champion. And unlike LeBron James, unlike Anthony Davis and some of these – and KD and Devin Booker and Bradley Beal and company, they chase individual stats. They chase they're chasing being the greatest of all time. Jamal Murray is chasing being known as a champion that shows who he is at the biggest moments, and that's who Jamal Murray's DNA is.
Moving straight on, as we continue on here following game 3 of the – first round of the Western Conference Finals. Nikola Jokic didn't have the greatest stat line.
That was an off night. Damn.
It was an off night, and he ended it with 24, 15, and 9. Oh, one away from the triple-double. Come on, Mike.
Sambor double.
But I ordered a three-piece combo, not a two-piece. I ordered a three-piece.
That's right. Damn, yo, gotta do better, man. Gotta get one more assist. We need to know a guy to hit a shot. Come on now. It's so unfortunate, man. Come on now. Be better, yo. You're only the greatest player in the world, and the greatest player in our organization's history. Come on, man. You have been better.
Ladies and gentlemen, this wasn't playing. Nico can just read my mind and knew exactly where I was trying to go with this. That is how long we've known each other. Yes, Nikola Jokic deserves a ton of credit for this game because when he needs to this is the greatness of Nikola Jokic, and this is what he's learned. I think back to – I think it was the 2019 or 2018 series against Portland, where you go seven games, last game goes into like six overtimes, and he's right there. He's playing, but now he's able to like conserve himself. He needs to play Jokic level certain times. Against the Los Angeles Lakers, probably not one of those times, if we're being 100% honest. He'll save that for next round.
Against Minnesota and probably against Boston and hopefully against Oklahoma State as Dallas playing stuff. So, like I said, this greatness of this individual, there isn't a soul on this planet that can stop him. The reason why, look, I've seen Rasheed Wallace go on shows and talk about wait till Jokic's games get up to him, wait till he starts getting banged up. What did I say after game two, Jimmy? The reason why the longevity of Jokic happens is because the motherfucker stays off the floor. Again, tonight. Joel Embiid, look up Joel Embiid's highlight tape. Yeah, he had 50 points tonight. What? Look up Joel Embiid's highlight tape tonight. He pulled the legs out from a guy from trying to dunk the ball. He had two of the worst flopping where he kicked the dude in the nuts twice I've ever seen. 50 points, yeah, Philadelphia, congratulations. You're gonna get gentlemanly swept. I'm happy for you. But it is funny. It is funny what these guys don't realize. It's the little things that the former players, the real OGs pick up, like the real all-time greats pick up. But the real player is just like, oh, well, why is he beating us like that? He's not that good. Because they think that they're better than them. Because how could a 6 foot or 7 footer, 7 foot fat slob Serbian from Sombor be better all time than David Robinson, be better all time than Patrick Ewing? Well, he is, ladies and gentlemen. Like it or not, he is the third. He's a three-time MVP. It is not even a question anymore. He is 26 out of the 28 MVP votes that have been released, or might be 24. Either way, somewhere around there. It is a foregone conclusion. It is rinse and repeat. He should be a four-time MVP straight, and that's the greatness of this individual. Gilbert Arenas is out here talking. He's the softest MVP of all time. Softest MVP of all time. It's so funny.
Because he doesn't bring a gun to the locker room?
It's so funny, Jimmy. It's just so funny. And people just keep trying to knock this man down because he doesn't look like your average hooper. He doesn't look like your average hooper. He is a walking – you. If Nikola Jokic changed the way he looked and was just like 6 foot eight.
He looked like his brother,
he'd be like – oh, this guy doesn't know ball. Like, what is he gonna do on the floor? Then he cooks you up and down the floor at an open gym. You're like, what the fuck? What the fuck am I watching? And it's so hard. It's so funny. People are still struggling to try to figure it out. Because like I said, this playoffs does. There is not a person this will do more for. A championship will do more for Nikola Jokic. Plain and simple. Because after three MVPs in 4 years, back to back finals. And back-to-back finals MVPs, maybe Jamal might get to, who knows. He'll be in a conversation you guys are scared to talk about. Plain and simple. You are scared to talk about. But he is that damn good.
It just really makes me laugh when I hear a guy, because you know Gilbert Arenas has no idea the place that Nikola Jokic comes from. I don't know if you know this about world history, Nico. Serbia started World War I. Serbia was like, F this, and assassinated Austria's leader. Like, Serbia does not mess around. You think you're a gangster because you brought a gun and a duffel bag to practice? Nikola Jokic, his country's ran by gangsters.
and he goes back there every summer and lives there constantly because he enjoys it and loves it so much.
Look at his brother, the one that sucker punched the fan in the face the other night. His brother is on all of the Russian gas. All of the steroids. You can't tell me he's not muscling some, but I he's probably a great person. But I'm like,
yeah, be careful, there, Jimmy. We're Nuggets fans.
He plays into the Eastern European stereotype, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, this is all playing out a little bit too well.
too well. But yeah, look, Jokic is. I could have a full 4-hour show on just the greatness of this individual. I will beat a dead horse, but it is. Like I said I will never take this. This tenure, Jokic's tenure, for granted, ever. I don't know when it's going to end, and hopefully it ends later rather than sooner. But man, I get to watch my favorite team have the best player in the world on their roster, and I have never been able to say that. Plain and simple. Peyton Manning was the closest I've ever gotten to saying that. Cale McCarr-McKinnon, you could roughly say that. But Nikola Jokic is undoubtedly the best player in one of the biggest leagues in the world, and it's not even close to being a conversation.
I can notice it. I can notice it, and I've never been able to play this sport at a level where you would be able to take my – like, I have a totally unbiased opinion. No style that I prefer. Yeah, you can shoot threes all day. Jokic is – I told you when you – that's one of the first games that I really remember, like, seeing it in person, because I've been to Nuggets games before, but it was further away. And, you know, now the understanding that I have, I told you, I've never seen somebody float to 35 points. He legitimately floats, doesn't look like he's stepping on the floor, and all of a sudden you look up at the scoreboard and you're like, I guess we have been celebrating a lot of Jokic points.
It is crazy because, like, growing up, the Joker was probably my favorite villain, right? The Joker in Batman series is my favorite villain. And the way he demeans himself, yeah, he's a sadistic fuck. But the way Heath Ledger specifically played the Joker, and that demeanor where he just comes in and you feel the presence – yes. It's exactly what Nikola Jokic does.
Nikola Jokic right now is burning that pile of cash. He's burning the mafia's money.
He steps on the floor and the whole arena goes silent. Plain and simple, he's like, fuck. It's such a demoralizing feeling. It is facing Tom Brady in the playoffs. It is facing the Miami Heat with LeBron D. Wade and Bosh. It is facing prime Michael Jordan on the road to back-to-back or two straight three-peats with the break in between. That is how demoralizing it is to see this individual on the floor. That's it's fear. It's fear and it's pain that strikes opponents that people just have no answer for. No answer for it. That's the best way I can put it. There's no answer for what he does. Because like I said, Jokic isn't playing Anthony Davis one-on-one. He's not playing Rui Hachimura. He's playing the whole entire Lakers organization. He is forcing Jeannie Buss's hand to be like, hey, Darvin Ham can't fucking out-coach me and Michael Malone because I have an answer to every single thing you try to throw at us. He is forcing LeBron to not listen to Darvin Ham and try to figure things out of how to beat him offensively because he's so unstoppable. Whatever fucking Goldsberry wants to come out and say, well, you need to force him one-on-one. All right, that's cool. Do that for two or three series down the road or down the other end, and Jokic will come back on the offense end and will do the exact – and say, you think you can guard me with Rui Hachimura? You think that doubling me in the post is going to be cool? Let me just throw this lob up to Aaron Gordon real quick and get the crowd excited because you think this is cool. It is crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And like I said,
watch this. No, look.
It's a new thing. It's a new thing that people are trying to find and figure out of how to beat him. And it's a funny conversation every year that I just get a good chuckle out of.
The last guy that I think not to take away from Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, just to kind of keep these things at the same amount of time, we'll leave on Michael Porter Jr. And maybe depending on how the next Nuggets postgame show goes, we'll leave a little bit of time for KCP specifically because I feel like he deserves it. He has a big part to play in the championship last season, and so far on the playoff run, he's been pretty damn good. But Michael Porter Jr., we were asked, like, point blank from the very first day of the NBA playoffs this year, do we think Michael Porter Jr.'s situation off the floor is going to affect his play on the floor? And you said it really well, I think, in one of our postgame shows, and apparently it's ringing true, and I feel like if you think anything otherwise, you really aren't paying attention. Those 15 guys that are in the Nuggets locker room have to be just every single time that they can. It seems like they're just going past them like, hey, head up, chin up. You can't do anything about anything like that. Like, unfortunately, as a professional athlete, when your family comes from whatever means they come from, it's going to reveal the true self of the people that you are around. Whether that's your brother, whether that's your friend, whether that's a cousin, aunt, mom, dad, whatever. It's unfortunate that this has happened. Both brothers have something catastrophic happen within like 10 days. Life-changing.
Literally 10 days, yeah.
You have the 15 guys in your locker room now helping you out. And it's not that they're doing this just so that they can win a championship. I feel like they want to win the championship for MPJ so that he doesn't have to deal with his – he's still going to be asked about it, but just don't make me deal with my brothers for like another 2 months. Don't make me have to fully address that. Let's continue to play. Let's continue to win. Basketball is my therapy. Go back to White Men Can't Jump. Maul, you don't need therapy. Basketball is your therapy. I feel like that's what we're seeing.
And look, this is Michael Porter Jr. that is 25 years old and has had 3 back surgeries. Name another pro athlete that has been through that and is succeeding like this in the postseason. You
that
can't.
Young? No.
That young. Succeed. There is not. There simply is not. Coming through 3 back surgeries, all the drama that has happened in his off the court life, Michael Porter Jr. is the ultimate pro. And I listen to nearly every post game show from Altitude and DMVR because I just love hearing the inside of everything. And when they interviewed MPJ after game one, he said something that struck me so strong. He's like, you know what? Those are my brothers. I feel for them. It is a tough time in my life, but I have 14 other brothers in this locker room that have my back. This is not a team. This is a family. Plain and simple. And like I said, it's the best locker room in the NBA. It's not even close. There isn't 50 more players in the league that enjoy playing with each other more. There isn't 50 more unselfish players to play together in this league.
They don't enjoy playing for any other coach more than Michael Malone in this league, too. That's another thing.
Malone knows when it's time to have some fun, wear the chain, get hammered at the parade.
Dynasty, get
picked up by Jokic's brothers and thrown like a happy little child. Like he knows when it's time. He knows when it's time to have so much fun. And then he also knows when it's time to, hey, we need to dial it in. Hey, this is, we know who we are. We know I am going to make sure that everyone's put in the right position. Everyone knows their role. And if we get the result we want to, we're all going to be gain the riches, we'll have rings on our fingers, and we will go down in the history as another dynasty that happened. Plain and simple. And that's what Michael Malone's goal is continuing to be. Like I said, it's – I don't know when this core will break up. KCP – hold on. LeBron and AD are on the TV. I'm going to pause it so I can listen to this later. But this team is just so perfectly molded together. And look, it is a kudos to Tim Connelly, but it is even kudos to Calvin Booth. Because like I said, the deal last year to get Bruce Brown, keeping Jeff Green off the way, drafting Christian Brown, drafting Peyton Watson, bringing Reggie Jackson back to his home state, trading Monte Morris and Will Barton, two guys who are beloved in the city, for KCP. Like he has done the difficult decisions and kept the core together. And like I said, when you're able to do that for multiple years, keep the core together and build pieces around and go from there, that's what builds the prime Bulls. That's what built the prime Spurs, plain and simple. And that's what this team is going to continue to hope for. And like I said, Saturday's game, I don't know what I want. I'll be honest with you, Jimmy. Part of me wants them to lose so that we can whoop that ass at home and they have to walk off the court hearing that Hoosier Daddy's chant. Part of me wants that. You know, it would not be the worst thing in the world. But part of me also wants the 12 in a row. Like there's just two sides.
It's a really nice even round number that you can divide a lot of ways. So the math guys would like it, and I think we would enjoy it. And I think LeBron would just be able to, you know, fake read a lot of math books and try and figure out the root of the number 12. And maybe that's what makes him stick around in the Western Conference, which would be awesome because then we get to knock him out of the playoffs again next year.
He better pray that Bronny goes to an East team and they can force a trade there, as long as I say.
He's going to be like, you know what, Bronny? I feel like you need another year of school.
Yeah.
What? Dad, I thought you – no, I feel like you need another year of school. You need another year of school.
I'm sorry, Bronny. That goal of us playing together is not going to happen because there's this 7-foot, 300-pound Serbian that just fucking owns my ass.
Or, and just go with me here, LeBron goes to Bronny and says, hey – how do you feel about altitude?
No, fuck away. Fuck out of here. Don't build, break this fucking core. I would not trade for LeBron a heartbeat.
No, not trade. Not trade for. Like I said, Bronny goes back to school. LeBron plays out the rest of his contract.
We don't have the cap space unless he wants to play at a veteran minimum, which I look.
To Jordan play with his son?
No. Well, I mean, if he takes a veteran minimum to ring chase, the Jordan – the Jordan fan club is going to fucking lose their minds.
I want it now.
And maybe,
want it.
it may be worse. It may be worse than KD joining the Warriors. I'm serious, because KD had never won anything. LeBron right now is chasing Jordan rings, chasing Kobe rings. And if he joins the Denver Nuggets, which I, be honest with you, I don't want even the slightest at this point in his career. Not even the slightest. Not even a conversation to break this team up for him. But if he were to take a veteran's minimum, just a ring chase, and come off the bench, because he's come off the bench of this team, I don't. He probably closed games, but I wouldn't trust him to take the. I don't want to take the ball away from Jamal Jokic. And I look, if he ring chases, it'd be very funny. And like I said, Bulls fans need to be the biggest ever Nuggets fans of all time. Like any Bulls fan, Jordan's fan, like you're welcome. You're welcome. I want a formal thank you. I want a formal thank you because all those conversations is whooping his ass every single year, and him not being a playoff performer, like, you're welcome. You're so welcome, and I'm happy for you guys. You still have Jordan as your GOAT. But I want an apology. If you're a Bulls fan, get in our comments and thank us. Thank us for giving you ammo, for letting your GOAT still be the GOAT, because we're shedding the GOAT the self-proclaimed GOAT skin every single damn night he plays us. So thank us, Bulls fans. Thank you. Thank us, Wizards fans. Thank us, Jordan fans. We're doing you a service. We're doing
you a
service.
I'm going to need you to dumb down that language quite a bit, because LeBron doesn't actually read those books. He just carries them in with him when he walks into the locker room.
Fair enough.
I don't know how many times I'm going to tell you that. I feel like it bugs me. Because as a teacher, we have specific days. Like on Tuesdays, they're supposed to do math on their computer. And on Thursdays, they're supposed to read. Nobody ever does math on their computer, and nobody ever reads. And then they're like, well, why did I get a zero? You did do it. You legitly just refused to do it.
Mr. Sparknotes, for those that grew up during our time, Sparknotes was an absolute legend.
Never forget. Sparknotes, Cliff Notes. Crash Course. I used to watch those videos quite a bit before a test. Just be like, I didn't pay attention at all in class. I hope I can.
We still got through and passed everything. So look at us. It works.
Hey,
it works.
I teach.
It works. Jay teaches, and I have a wonderful job. Life is good.
There you go. All right. I feel like that's a good place to end. We'll be back tomorrow later on in the evening, following us being at Game 3 of the Colorado Avalanche Winnipeg Jets series, the home opener of the playoffs for the Colorado Avalanche.
Oh, the barn is going to be buzzing. The barn.
It's the toughest barn in the NHL, Nico. Toughest barn in the NHL.
I cannot wait. I cannot wait. The barn is going to be buzzing.
I'm so excited. We're going to be there. I don't even know. I have an in-service day, and I'm not paying attention to nothing.
I know, I've already finished most of my work through tomorrow anyways too, so life is going to be very easy tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of scrolling through different Laker shit, and then at probably like 1 o'clock I'll convert it to Avs pregame shit and go from there.
I'm going to be listening to Chicklets Live that I just started and just trying to keep my mind occupied until – I hate that we're 8 o'clock start. Like, it's good because I can kind of take my time after work, but damn it.
It's brutal.
That 5 o'clock start would be great, because then I could get into bed early.
I cannot tell you how many times we've done the fucking 8 o'clock start for the Nuggets, and you get home you leave the arena at 10:30, 11 if you stay for the whole game, and it's just like, fuck, I want to lay down. It's so damn tired. But we will give you a live show. Yes. So far, it's been very. You guys have loved it, and like I said, the Nuggets are going to do us justice. They will finish the series on Saturday, so that way we have a little bit of a breather. So that we between the first and second round, so we can just focus on Avs shit post game, and then we kick it right into the next gear and go after Minnesota or Phoenix, and then the Avs continue on, and hopefully, like I said, hopefully knock on wood, Jimmy, if you're listening, knock on wood, they continue to ball out and play as hard as they have been.
I'm throwing it up on the screen because I don't know what I've decided to wear for tomorrow's game, but we do have playoff gear in the.
I have a lucky shirt. I have a lucky jersey so far.
You'll be fine.
I know I have multiple Avs jerseys. This jersey has been worn for every Nuggets game. Same hat, same championship hat that I've worn every game. Read that and weep, Lakers fans. And he fans, Jeremy, cough. I've worn the same shit, and it's worked, and I will not be breaking up Juju, and the Avs are 1-0 with a certain jersey I've worn, so I'm not breaking that.
Yeah, I haven't found something yet, so I'll figure it out, but I do think if it gets here in enough time, I do want to make sure that I get our gear worn, but the link is on the screen. It's in our bio on our social media at FEOTBpod, bonfire.com/ it's variety-sports-network. But this is where you can get the MVP shirt that we have. We have a Nugget shirt. We have an Avalanche shirt. We're playoffed out. We're not playoffed out, but we're like all in for the playoffs. I'm going to the arena tomorrow, Nico. First thing that we do tomorrow, I am getting something new from the store. I just got paid. And it's burning a hole in my pocket.
That payday hits different, especially when it's playoff shit. I'll tell you what. So can't hate that.
All right. Be sure to check us out tomorrow night live after the Avalanche game. Whenever we're able to get back, we'll try and keep everybody up to date. If you're at the Avalanche game at Ball Arena on Friday night, be sure to come out. Say hi to us. We'll take a picture, try and make you guys guess where we are. Not being weird, but I don't want to give you guys the section. Don't want to give you guys my location. So if you can find us, you can find us. If not, we'll be here live game, post-game show tomorrow at FEOTBpod. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Like, go back and watch the draft show. Come back and watch this show for myself, Jimmy Pilato, my co-host, Nico Bryan. We will see you guys tomorrow night.
Peace!
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.